Welcome to Design Oracles. We are here to pontificate, evangelize, and educate you on residential interior design and architecture.
I'm Amity Worrell, interior designer of Amity Worrell and Company.
And I'm Diane Kett, architect of DK Studio.
Hello, and welcome to Design Oracles. How are you today, Diane?
Good. How are you, Amity?
I'm good today. What are we going to talk about?
We are going to talk about the discipline of psychology of the built environment. That is a newer study that's happening throughout the world, which is really cool. And I think, you know, I had mentioned that I went to A&M, and they actually have a PhD program. And back when I was there, this was the mid to late 90s, they were starting to study these kinds of things where they show you an image and they have you hooked up to wires and stuff. I never actually got to do it. I just saw it from afar, but where they'd show an image and then they're studying the response that happens. Well, there's a whole lot more that's even been happening since then. And it's interesting because they'll show people different forms, geometry, like curved walls, curved ceilings, straight, you know, has a window, doesn't have a window, the furniture style, the height of the space, whether it's tall, shorter, materiality, textures. And then they're looking at, like, what is your heart rate doing? Is your blood pressure doing? There's all these different acronyms for words that I guess get lit up in the brain. I am not a neurologist. I just know we have a brain, and I know there's a hypothalamus maybe, and I think that's all I retained from my biology class because I had to make room for physics and calculus. But, yeah, so it's really, really cool because I think that will also lead to us understanding more and more about us as human beings. Mm-hmm. And so they've been doing all these cool studies. And then they're finding different things, like locating a sink within the visible stretch of a hospital corridor can increase the rate of hand washing.
Who knew? That's crazy.
I mean, I luckily haven't been in hospitals a lot, but I know you don't always see a sink in the hallway, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe a water fountain. So just starting to incorporate that. And of course, with the pandemic, we're all thinking more about hand washing. And then there was also, like, installing operable windows in school classrooms can actually reduce sleepiness. Now, I don't know if the window is actually open or maybe it's
question.
The idea you can open it, but
maybe just the psychology of I could get out of here.
Exactly.
So
they did actually find that, you know, actually worked. There's a whole lot of stuff done on commercial interiors and getting higher productivity at work. You know, there's now not just LEED, but there's another, the acronym is escaping, it has to do with environmental health within
yes.
a space, and you
mm-hmm.
have to get a certain quantifiable
like a grade.
Number of points
you get a grade.
On your building. And so they found by following those different aspects that they've set out that you will have higher productivity.
So essentially these things can make us happier and really affect our daily life. And of course, the productivity matters for the capitalist society we live in.
Yes. I know for me, definitely being near a window, I'm like a plant. It just makes me work so much better and happier. You know, retail. That one is a huge one that they have spent a lot of time studying to get higher sales and how you lay out the space and how you design it and a lot of that. Healthcare, there's a lot of stuff that's being studied, how to accelerate patient recovery times, how to improve healthy
great.
Environments. There's a lot going on there as well. You know, most of it is all interior, so they haven't figured out how to really study exterior, like architecture, because you've got all this climatic data you have to deal with as well.
I could
imagine,
it could
be a humid day, it could be a cold day, it could. So you have all these other factors, because, you know, when scientists do their studies, they have to include all of these varying factors that can affect it. So when you're inside, you have a more controlled environment, so you can be more specific with the study.
But I do think that it's just intuitive that we all have emotional and physiological reactions to buildings when we see them from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
I am very drawn personally because of my personal history of liking school. And the age that I am, the buildings that I went to school in were all kind of 1950s buildings. I was born in 70, so I was going to school in elementary school in the late 70s. And I love those buildings. I feel very drawn to them, whereas someone else might see that architecture and have a different experience because maybe they had a bad experience at school or they don't like industrial architecture, or whereas I like it. So that's kind of an interesting personal thing that people mm-hmm. have responses, different responses to buildings based on their own psychology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, what's interesting is, so when they do like show you, like maybe you're sitting in a room that's got all wood paneling, do you think maybe you probably, your brain is lighting up with joy?
Mine is.
I would think, yeah, because mm-hmm. I know how much you love mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. And then someone else, like you said, might not have as good a feeling about it. Or maybe they actually do.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe there's one certain area of the brain that's being lit up. Maybe they have two areas being lit up, whereas you might have five.
It's interesting. There was a client.
And then they can see which one is the common one.
I have a client recently who had a negative response to the idea of a darker paneling on the walls that was vertical because she had just maybe an experience of that that wasn't great. But as soon as we turned the paneling horizontal and made it a lighter color, she was extremely excited about that concept of that warmth it would bring. So yeah, definitely. These are things that I think I'm happy they're being studied. They're intuitive. You know, human beings intuitively feel something and notice it when they're in a space, and they are drawn to being in spaces that make them feel good. But having that scientific understanding and that discipline that studies it helps us to create more of those environments.
Mm-hmm. I find it fascinating.
Yeah. What else you got?
Let's see. What else? There's different studies about the increased ratio of oxygen to carbon monoxide in classrooms and how that relates to increased student attentiveness. So then that would get back to, I know last season we talked with Christoph Irwin about positive energy, how much air makeup is happening in the room and what that indoor air quality is like. Mm-hmm. And then that has an effect.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Right?
It does.
But we just don't do it.
Yeah.
Also, sometimes they're not always checking to make sure everything is working to peak efficiency.
So we have to think about how that relates to what it is that we do in homes, because these things would be true of homes as well as
mm-hmm.
schools.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely.
Operable windows, mm-hmm. The natural light for the built environment. The elements that come to mind to me as an interior designer, I've had a lot of people have very visceral reactions to patterns.
Right.
I can't remember the name of it. It's escaping me, but there is an actual condition that people don't like the patterns of regular holes, like a network of a repeating pattern of openings, like holes. I can't remember what it's called, but like honeycombs, like mm-hmm. a beehive honeycomb. Have you heard of that one, Diane?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called. My daughter sort of has it. So I've had clients say, not only I don't like that tile pattern, but get it away from me as fast as possible, as though it is a scorpion.
Right.
So that's a very strong emotional reaction that's actually been studied.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing about all this, you know, as architects and designers, we do it for so long, we start to know, but we don't have the quantifiable data and research to back it up when we say these things. So it's really cool that they're coming out with all of these, studying your heart rate, studying the blood pressure, your areas of the brain that are getting stimulated when you're put in spaces that are like, you know, all wood paneling, or maybe it's rug versus tile, or mm-hmm. yeah, colors, mm-hmm. and how high the room is, how small the room is, and all those kinds of things. Whereas you and I know about proportion, and just because we've done it for so long and studied it so much, it's really interesting.
Yeah, there's human nature rules about it and understanding about it, and then there's the individual experience, lived experience that informs it. You know, the clients that absolutely hate the idea of wall-to-wall carpet,
mm-hmm.
Whereas others are made completely happy by the idea of this luxury of having something soft underfoot. And
right.
other people literally feel ill just with the concept of it and the thought of it. So it's a very visceral, emotional, physiological experience
mm-hmm.
that we
and
have in these spaces.
Yeah, buildings and urban spaces should be designed around the occupants. And so there's this importance of architecture and interior design as a trigger to your physical, physiological, and psychological well-being that happens.
Mm-hmm. I think another one that comes to mind as an element of what matters is color palette, and how that affects the way that we think and feel. Some of our most kind of emotional meetings that we have with clients or moments on the job sites when we bring in paint colors. It's funny, a lot of times the builders are like, when are you doing paint? When are you going to have that meeting? I'm going to make myself scarce. They don't want to be there for that kind of, sometimes gets very emotional meeting to like bring in paint boards. That's typically what we do, is bring in colors, paint boards, and we hold those paint boards up so we can see what they look like next to the other materials in the space. And you will hear gasps and immediate responses that are strong, like, oh, no, 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 take that white away. That white makes me sad. Or, oh, that I'll joke sometimes about it and say, oh, that's depressing. That's a depressing color. And I don't necessarily in that moment understand what it is I'm reacting to, but I feel it in my body.
Mm-hmm.
Natural light, too, is a huge aspect. You know, a lot of times if we're working in a space as an interior designer that's already built, we aren't able to control whether or not we can put a window in. Sometimes we'll look to the ceiling and mm-hmm. try to put natural light in that way, because just like you, we are like plants. We want that natural light and that experience of natural light in a space. And then material hardness and softness applies too. You know, a lot of the discussions we have are about how things feel to the touch, and then acoustics and how things sound. I was mentioning, you know, we went to a restaurant that will remain nameless last night with my family, and it was very loud, and there was clanking, and it was really noisy, and it was very unpleasant to be in. I couldn't hear everyone, the individual voices around me. It was all just a clatter and a clanking. I joked that it felt like we were eating a giant bathroom because all the surfaces were hard and things were breaking, and there was a lot of, you know, and that's unpleasant and made me feel like I wanted to leave. I missed my home. I wanted to pack up and go get the doggy bag going.
You've also been at home for so long and not been going out eat as much, right? We all got used to it.
So true.
It's like people who lose their hearing, and then when all of a sudden they go into a noisy environment like that, they're like, ah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very true. So I'm glad they're studying it. It's something that's intuitive too, but it's new in a way the way that we're studying it is new, but it's also been intuitive, you know, throughout time. So there's like in the Chinese, you know, culture, there's feng shui, which we've all heard about.
Yeah, I've studied a lot about that. I try to incorporate it in my design work. Of course, I want to make sure my client supports that or wants that to happen.
There's a lot of different cultures that have different ways of planning.
I mean, like you're never supposed to have a bed, the end of the bed facing a door, because that's how they carry dead people out.
Mm-hmm.
So you never want to like have a bed opposite the door out of the room.
Yeah. And what about being next to the door for the first person that gets murdered when the murderer comes in the door? We all know that rule, too. That's
intuitive. I don't
think
that one was in the feng shui book.
No, that wasn't there? Okay. It's a thing. So, you know, recently we took a trip to Spain and we went to Sagrada Familia, the cathedral. And being in that space, that, you know, very famous and beautiful Gaudi building, I felt very emotionally moved by the light and the materials that I saw and the light reflection and the volume of ceiling. And so that's a very obvious space that cathedrals in general that are supposed to take us out of ourselves.
But not like Sagrada Familia.
No, it's different.
So, I had been to Sagrada Familia 2016, and I had never been there before, and I was mm-hmm. not prepared for mm-hmm. its magnificence.
Yeah.
Anyone that goes to Barcelona, you cannot leave without going to Sagrada
Familia.
It's a
very moving experience.
Mm-hmm. It's just it boggles my mind how he came up with that. And so a lot of that, though, when you read about him, is how he studied from nature. And, of course, he's from the Art Nouveau movement, which was all about that. But when you look at the columns, I don't know if you notice that, they actually kind of turn like tree trunks. And so they aren't actually, the fluting doesn't go straight up. It starts to turn and twist. And so everything about that space is copying nature. So that's how the rainbow light comes in.
It's incredible. It changes.
So he really studies all of the stuff in nature somehow and incorporate it into a building, whereas prior to that, all the cathedrals were made to make you feel small and tiny and God is great and big. And then they had the gargoyles and protecting you from the devil or scaring you or, you know, there was just all this. It was a completely different feeling than it was walking into Sagrada Familia. And Sagrada Familia is represents the Sacred Family, which also is about Mother, you know, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, whereas all the other cathedrals are named after saints, right? So there isn't really one that's about the family. So that's also nature. So it was really fascinating to me to learn about that. And they actually started that. Gaudí picked it up and carried the design. So they started it before, and it was going to be more of a Gothic-type cathedral. So if you notice in one part of the cathedral, it's like the old part until Gaudí took over.
That changes. So that's a great example of all of these elements that we're talking about that people feel drawn to.
The nature of that space.
The curves.
My God. Can you imagine how many parts of your brain are going off?
And get this, some of the floors are cork.
They are.
Yes. I have pictures.
You must have been so excited.
I'm going to do a whole blog on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So cathedrals,
where's the cork?
All the little side chapels, or they're not really chapels, but off to the sides.
Was that to
they
make
have
it
ends
quiet?
Of cork. Yes.
Oh.
And they're in perfect condition, even with all those people walking on them. So I have photos to prove it. So yes, that's a great example of how all of these elements come together. And so when you have that sort of volume of space, it can feel very otherworldly and grand and great. And yes, it can either make you feel small or, in the case of Sagrada Familia, make you feel connected to the earth and to nature and to Mother, the grand. So that's another thing that I wanted to mention is just when we have a home that's maybe small, maybe doesn't have a lot of space within it, and we want to create a perception of space, that's where ceiling heights come in, right, Diane?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Lights,
definitely.
Windows, we want expansive glass walls, glass partitions, anything that can kind of break those spaces up and make them feel bigger. That feels good. It feels like you can breathe. It gives mm-hmm. it gives you air and freshness. And then it also brings in light, and that can be very welcoming. And then there's the effect of natural light as opposed to artificial lighting. That has a huge effect on how we feel in spaces. So that's another thing as an interior designer.
And then that's come a long way.
Oh, yes.
I mean, remember talking with Eric in that interview, he talked about how they can, remember you were all excited, you could touch a button that says Amity and it could change the light for you throughout the day.
Do you remember
and it wasn't
that?
Natural lighting.
No. No, but it can mimic.
Right.
The new lights can mimic natural
lighting. That's what
lighting.
I'm saying. It's artificial mm-hmm. light, mm-hmm. and they're able to do mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. So, again, that's something else you can study and see which parts of your brain are lighting up by having all that happen.
And then to that end, the natural light brings in the emotion of what that is about kind of a connection to the outside and an ability to breathe. And then it also changes the colors that are in the space. So when we are choosing paint colors, it's important, or wall colors or floor colors or material colors, to be in the space that you're going to be in with that quality of light, because it changes it very, very dramatically.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I have a little list here that kind of talks about all the different colors and the emotions that they bring. And red brings, you know, heat into a space. There are studies that show that it can make you feel hungry.
I remember reading something like you're supposed to paint your dining room orange to make you feel.
Yeah, more hungry. If you want people to eat, I think it's orange and yellow.
Which is like McDonald's.
Yeah. And a lot of the fast food restaurants have taken, you know, blue is apparently not. That makes you feel not hungry and more relaxed. Yellow, it's associated with creativity and energy and fun and happiness. Green is soothing and calm. If it's not too overdone, it reminds us of nature. It's one of my favorite colors because I always say to people, it's like the trees outside. I feel the same way about brown. Blue also relates back to nature and the ocean and the sky, feelings of calm and serenity. And there's studies of color. This is something that has been studied very extensively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And this is interesting because I know Diane's favorite color is purple, but mm-hmm. purple is associated with luxury and privilege.
What a surprise.
Yeah. My husband's favorite color is purple as well. Toned down hues like lavender and soft are considered feminine. Darker hues may lead you to arrogance, frustration, irritability is the negative side of that. So just kind of interesting how much study has gone into this. Gray is a neutral. It brings balance and a balance of hues to a space. It can be cold and unwelcoming, which is my beef with grays that are too blue.
Well, I was going to say grays can take on so much other colors, though.
Absolutely. They're a neutral.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. they could be more blue. They could be more green. Mm-hmm. They could be more black.
A lot of times people will call me to say, I need help now because I've attempted to choose my own gray here, this overarching term gray, and it's turned out lavender. And that's great as a color, but it's not what I wanted for the trim
right,
on my house.
Yeah.
Or
mm-hmm.
it looks blue. Or so that's a tricky, tricky color. Brown, it says it's close to nature like wood. It depicts strength, stability, comfort, warmth, but can sometimes feel dull and unimaginative. So I think brown has gotten a bad rap over the years. But I love it as a color. And if you can find the right depth for it, then it just makes you feel like, you know, connected to the earth. Black, not cheerful, but it's linked to death and mystery.
So all these black windows that we're seeing.
I love them, though. But it also says it leads to feelings of sophistication, sexuality, and adds drama to a space.
Okay, that's what we like, the drama against
the
white.
We like the drama, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it adds a sense of depth and maybe, like, mystery. Like, what's inside that window? Because there are a lot of black windows out there these days.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking it's about, or maybe already is, off-trend.
Yeah, it may already be. Maybe moving
because we're starting
to
do some more bronze mm-hmm. and white again.
I agree. Yeah, bronze seems to be coming back. And finally, white. It's a common neutral that adds brightness to a space, gives us feelings of purity, cleanliness, innocence. I think that's why white kitchens are so popular,
sure.
because people tend to really love their kitchen to feel clean and bright and fresh. Maybe not making you feel hungry like the redwood, but it would be hard to live.
I also feel like sometimes, especially on exterior, if they can't figure out what color they like, they then just pick white.
Yeah. It's true. I think white's as tricky as gray. I think it's a very difficult color to get right. It can absorb a lot and reflect a lot of what's around it.
Definitely.
So that has an effect. I mean, we like to joke that, I mean, actually, I think it was Siri Mom that painted the first kind of rooms white, and that was in the 1920s. It was not a trend before that. And
right.
Anyway, that's a whole other direction to go. But it's a very interesting subject, color. And then I also wanted to mention the effect of art on our psychology and how we feel. I was working with a client just yesterday to think about what they wanted their guest room art to feel like. And it's they want it to feel different than the rest of the house, but connected to their personality and not too challenging. Because I don't think people want to try to sleep with something, a very challenging, edgy piece of art kind of looming over them. Or maybe they do,
right.
but that wouldn't be me. And maybe you want to have a guest room that has a little bit more kindness mm-hmm. in it, more general feel of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
So all these things come together to give us a feeling in the spaces.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think that is all we have to talk about that right now. We didn't have an actual psychologist to interview. So
yeah, we didn't.
Amity and I.
We tried.
Came up with our own view of that discipline. Both of us took psychology 101 in
sure.
college, and we learn all about. Well, what did I learn? Do I remember? Pavlov's dog.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for listening. See you next week.
All right. Bye. Thank you for listening to Design Oracles with Amity Worrell, owner of Amity Worrell & Company, and Diane Kett, owner of DK Studio.